We're going to pray for Jeannie. Jeannie, will you come up front? Two major surgeries I've had, and the doctor set the course of what they were going to do. And on one of the surgeries, the doctor is explaining everything he's going to do, and I said, I have a question. And he said, what's the question? I said, am I still alive at this point? But both times, they came out of the surgery and did something completely different than they said they were going to do. And I realize that you are out of your mind if you go into an operating room without God. Because God can overrule what the surgeon's going to do. So we want to pray for Jeannie. As she goes to her surgery tomorrow. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God says to you, Jeannie, I will overrule everything that is not according to my purpose and my will. And in the name of Jesus, I will be in that operating room. I will be guiding the surgeons. I will be guiding the technicians. And surely you will live and not die. You will recover as I will walk this journey with you. God says, in the name of Jesus, you are overruled. Please keep Pete. Some many of you know Petey. He had a heart attack 2 days ago. My cabinet builder, Pete, guy who built this pulpit for me. Did your kitchen, yes. Did Jeannie's kitchen, yeah. Today's sermon's called Set a Course. One of the sad things about being a pastor is watching people change course. They were on a course, and it was a good course, only they didn't see it as a good course, so they changed course because they don't have the foresight to see where this course is going to take them. So it is important that we set a course, and if we're not on the right course, that we change course. America was founded on the truth of God. That was its course. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You all know those words. The founders of our country wanted to escape the tyranny of unfair taxation. We have deviated from that course. Not only are we paying more than half our money in taxes, our government has us in over $36 trillion in debt. I couldn't even explain to you how much $1 trillion is, let alone 36 of them. We do not own our houses, because if we do not pay the government every year for that privilege, they will take them from us. And by the way, they determine how much we're going to owe them every year. The American people are paying in many ways for this altered course. The bottom line for the new course and God if you get off course, your result will be struggle. As a country, we are in struggle. Many struggle to get a doctor's appointment. Anybody feel me? Many struggle to get medicine. Marjorie took 24 doses of medicine that were $35,000 each. Add that up. Many struggle to get affordable housing. Kids, grown kids are living at home because they cannot afford housing. Many struggle to have transportation or to put gas in their cars. We struggle with our relationships. This country is struggling more than ever with mental health. Anxiety is a manifestation of struggle. The fact that we think a president can fix this is absurd. I don't care if you're a Trump hater. I don't care if you're a Trump supporter. Trump can't fix this. No president can fix this. The only way America will be great again is if it gets back on course. And we want to start pointing fingers, and we want to say, it's this group, it's that group, it's this immorality, it's that immorality, but I'm going to tell you, the course deviation is from the Christians. The Christians are off course. And America will not be fixed until the Christians get back on course. A pastor told me last night, you have to have 100 members to have 50 in the church. He knows statistics like anybody else. Christians, as in my last sermon, are full of compromise. And we've come up with this attitude that if it doesn't affect us, we can overlook it. Or if we don't participate, it's okay. And we fail to make a proper stand for God. There's also personal struggle. God has set a course for us. If you are in struggle, change your course. If you're struggling in your marriage, change what you're doing. Stop doing the same thing. Make a change. Get on a new course. Make your husband, make your wife the most important thing in your life. Change your course. Change the road you're on. Change your direction. Change your thinking. Change your ways. Change your speech. Change what you consume. Change whatever you need to change to correct your course. We're very proud of Jeannie. In order to have the surgery she's going to have, she had to lose a lot of weight, or they wouldn't do the operation. She had to make some drastic changes. She lost 91 pounds so far. Change isn't easy. She struggled with that change, but she stayed on course. It didn't matter what you ate in front of her. She stayed on course. God began to show this to us in the very first book of the Bible. We're going to turn to Genesis 2, 16 and 17. God commanded the man. Commanded. He didn't ask. This is one of our biggest problems. You think God's asking you. God ain't asking you nothing. God's telling you. God's commanding you. God's ordering you. However you want to put it, God's not asking. We think he's asking. Because we decide, we'll do it or we won't do it. He's not asking. He commanded the man. The man's name's Adam. Not the one we have in here. It was a different Adam. But that one gets commanded too. You can eat from any tree in the garden. Made you a big garden. I put all kind of trees in here. There's fruit trees. There's this. There's that. I don't know what all was there. But you see that tree over there? Don't touch it. A simple command. God is setting a course. This is your course, Adam. If you follow the course, everything's going to be all right. But don't get off course. You can eat from any tree in the garden except from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from it. The moment you eat from that tree, you're dead. Why? Because a course is designed to keep you out of trouble. People changing their course don't even know the trouble they're getting ready to walk into. No, that's the next one. I'm not ready for that. So the course was set. Eat whatever you want. But not this. What has God told you not to do? You can do this, 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 and that, but don't do this. And I got some news for you. God ain't telling everybody the same thing. Because some people ain't ready for that step yet. Oh, it's coming. But it's not there yet. And see, you should have swivel heads. Because you're always looking around at everybody else, and you're not looking at yourself. Wouldn't it be easier? You wouldn't have to turn your body if you could just swivel your head. Look what Josh is doing. Look what Claudine's doing. Look what Marisol's doing. Look what Donna's doing. No, God's talking to you. He's not talking to Josh, Claudine, and Marisol, and Donna. He's talking to you. God sets a course for you. God set a course for Adam. What was the course going to give him? Adam would have never died. People would have never died. You don't know how important your course is until you get off of it and find out. Adam had God coming down every day, talking to him, walking with him. It was perfect. When the woman saw that the tree looked like good eating, and she realized what she would get out of it, she'd know everything. She took and ate the fruit. Then she gave some to Adam, and he ate it. What happened to the course God set? Seemed pretty harmless. I'll just take a bite of this, whatever it was. Nursery rhymes tells us it's an apple. Bible doesn't say what it is. Whatever it was, she ate it. But here's the thing. She didn't just change the course of her and Adam. She changed the course of all of us. Every one of us has been paying for that mistake. But here's what God is saying to you. If you get off course, you will struggle. I want you to understand that. I've watched two people this week get off course. Both of you were on good courses. Both of you are back off your course. And guess what it's going to lead to? Struggle. The course has been changed. Adam and Eve have deviated from the course that God has set. He told the woman, "You're off course, now you're going to struggle." That's what he told her. You can read it however you want to read it, but that's what he's saying. I'll multiply your pains in childbirth. Anybody have a painless childbirth? We think we fool God. Now we pump up so much medicine so we don't feel it. You'll give birth to your babies in pain. You'll want to please your husband, but he's going to lord it over you. He told the man, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from, man, if God's told you something, don't let your wife tell you something different. You can get mad at me all you want, but if God told you something, you're there to protect her. God's there to protect you. Because you listened to your wife, you ate from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from. Don't eat from this tree. The very ground is cursed because of you. Getting food from the ground will be as painful as having babies is for your wife. Don't be surprised when your husband comes home from work and his back's hurting and his legs are hurting and he's tired. That's what's supposed to happen. Next. You'll be working in pain all your life long. The ground will sprout thorns and weeds. You'll get your food the hard way, planting and tilling and harvesting, sweating in the fields from dawn to dusk until you return to that ground yourself, dead and buried. You started out as dirt, you're going to end up as dirt. Why? Because when you get off course, you find struggle. Now, I've been off course a time or two, and it starts off well. Great, I don't have to do that no more. Great, I don't have to sacrifice. Great, I don't have to. And while you're looking back at all the good things that happened, while you get off course, you run right into the wall. And you'll find yourself wishing you never left the course to start with. It's a struggle that we're not going to get out of. So the question is, why do we add more struggle to our life by not following the course God has put us on? I want to show you some examples from the Word of God to help you understand how important it is to follow God's course. The first example is a man named Uzzah. God said, "Do not touch, or you're going to die." God set the course. You're fine. All is well. Don't touch. Referring to the holy things, including the Ark of the Covenant. God said, don't touch it. That's the course. Now, Uzzah did not set off to touch the Ark. It wasn't his plan. He was going to listen. How many of you plan to listen when God tells you something? God told me to do this, and I'm going to do that, just like he said. I'm going to do it like he said. But all of a sudden, something happens, and you're not listening anymore. You touched it. Uzzah did not set off to touch the ark, but he touched it. We don't set off to disobey God, but we do it. 1 Chronicles 13:9-10 says this: when they came to the threshing floor of Kidon, Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the ark because an oxen stumbled. What's God trying to show us here? There's no innocence in disobeying the word of God. We would all look at this and say, you know, well, that's pretty innocent. The ox stumbled and the ark started to go back and forth and Uzzah reached out to touch it to steady it, to calm it down. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah, and he struck him down because he put his hand on the ark, so he died there before God. I believe our biggest problem, and I've been saying this for weeks, is we've lost the fear of the Lord. And we think that there's no consequences for the things we do. and I'll ask you how you're doing, and you'll tell me you're blessed and highly favored. And you think you are. But you don't know what blessed and highly favored is. Because you're paying consequences. Because God said, don't touch, and you touched. God said, don't do, and you did. God says, do, and you didn't. You see that? The Lord's anger burned. I don't even want to know how many times I ticked God off. I'm trying to make up for it now. But I do understand this. When I do things I shouldn't do, I upset God. And I also understand this, and this helps me not to do so many bad things. I know that I'm going to pay a consequence for doing it. I know that I'm inviting struggle into my life. Because struggle is the manifestation of getting off course. This tells me that God is not interested in my excuses, my justifications, my rationalizations. He's focused on my results. Don't touch it means don't touch it. Do it means do it. Back to Adam and Eve. God didn't care for Adam's excuse either. Genesis 3:12. The man said, the woman you put me here with, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. That excuse did not remove one consequence that Adam had to face. Not one. So what do you think your excuses to God are going to do? God don't hear excuses. God said, this is what's going to happen because you listened to your wife and disobeyed me. You will struggle. The principle is this, because someone guides you off course does not mean that you won't struggle. I might get a little personal here. It wasn't in my plan, but I heard it. A person in struggle will lead you to the same struggle. Go rub shoulders with him and watch when you find yourself in the same struggle. Not in my sermon. You can come read it. The Bible does say, bad morals will corrupt good character. Bad company will corrupt good character. You have to understand one thing people love is agreement. They don't want to see you successful if they're not successful. Jonah. He didn't listen to God. He got off course. God set a course for Jonah. Jonah 1:1-3. One day long ago, God's word came to Jonah. That guy's son. Up on your feet, on your way to the big city of Nineveh. Preach to them. They're in a bad way, and I can't ignore it any longer. God sent me to Lake Placid. What would have happened to me if I ignored it? But Jonah got up and went the other direction to Tarshish, running away from God. He went down to the port of Joppa and found a ship headed for Tarshish. He paid the fare, went on board, joining those going to Tarshish as far away from God as he could get. What's it saying? God said, go there. So Jonah did a 180 and said, I'm going here. I'm going to put distance between you and me. We do the same thing to God. We can put some distance. Yeah, we're not going to go to church now. No. I ain't doing what you asked me to do. I should be the poster child. I ran from God for 10 years. I understand, Jonah. We think when we don't listen to God, he just forgets about it. We forget about it. So we think he forgets about it. 1:17 says this. Then God assigned a huge fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was in the fish's belly for 3 days and nights. What is swallowing you right now? Car payments are swallowing the American people. Average car payment, $800 a month, with many, many over 1,000 and up to 3,000. Go to the lot and look at a truck. See if it's not about $100,000 before you get out. There's so many things that swallow us. Debt swallows us. Our anxiety is swallowing us. Depression is swallowing us. We're in the belly. Because we're running from God. We're running from the only thing that's going to help us change course. Now listen to me. When we are not on God's course, sin waits for us. You're off course. Sin is waiting for you. Let's look at Cain in Genesis 4. Time passed. Cain brought an offering to God from the produce of his farm. Abel also brought an offering, but from the firstborn animals of his herd, choice cuts of meat.
What it's saying here is that Cain brought some leftovers, and Abel put God first. You get the first of what I have. Cain said, you get what's left over. God liked Abel and his offering, but Cain and his offering didn't get his approval. Cain lost his temper and went into a sulk. Nobody wants to be rejected by God. Today, people won't even admit when they're being rejected from God. But can I tell you this? Struggle is a form of rejection. God spoke to Cain. Why this tantrum? Why are you crying? Why are you carrying on? Why are you upset? Why are you sulking? If you did the right thing, you would benefit, accepted as Abel. But if you don't do well, sin is lying in wait for you. When you get off course, sin is waiting for you. Ready to pounce. It's out to get you. You've got to master it. See, you don't know what you're walking into when you get off course. You don't know. You don't know what's waiting for you. But it's not good. Cain had words with his brother. They were out in the field. Cain came at Abel, his brother, and killed him. God said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, how should I know? Am I his babysitter? God said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is calling to me from the ground. From now on, you'll get nothing but curses from this ground. In other words, he got off course, and here comes the struggle. I'm telling you, it's real. Here comes the struggle. Your brother's blood is calling to me from the ground. From now on, you'll get nothing but curses from the ground. You'll be driven from this ground that has opened its arms to receive the blood of your murdered brother. You'll farm this ground, but it'll no longer give you its best. You'll be a homeless wanderer on the earth. I don't have time to go further today. There'll be part two, part three probably. But here's the thing. It didn't have to go down like that. You don't have to go down like that. Alter your course. All Cain had to do was repent and say, God, I am sorry I didn't put you first. You see how all these sermons are going together, right? But I'm going to put you first from now on. Because his way didn't work. His way got him in more trouble. Our way gets us in more trouble than we're in already. My prayer for you is recognize that you just got off course. And my prayer for you is that God would surround you by people that would keep you on course. This is not what you need to do. This is what you need to do. I'm always course correcting Claudine. Always. This is what you need to do. Why? Because I've been given that position in her life. If you don't have that position in somebody's life, then shut up, because correction without relationship is abuse. Don't be abusing people. We done been there with Claudine. Marjorie cut the umbilical cord for Estella. We've been there. I have that place. See, sometimes you got to be the person who keeps people on course, and sometimes you got to let them keep you on course. See, Cain couldn't do it by himself. He didn't have nobody to say, listen, instead of killing your brother, I know it's a good idea. I know it seems right. Why don't you do this? Let's go give God some of the best fruit you got. How about we do that? So how about you do this? Or how about you do that? It's going to work out so much better for you. Get on course. If you're not on course, repent. Repent, 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 and get back on course. What is it God told you you're supposed to be doing and yesterday, and what are you not doing today? You're off course. If I stopped preaching, I'd be off course. I'd be off course because God told me to preach. One day he's going to tell me I've preached enough. But if he ain't told you, you ain't supposed to be doing that thing that you're doing, and you're not doing it because you don't want to sacrifice, change your name to struggle, because it's coming. Prayer team, come on. Maybe there's somebody in here that wants to repent today. You never know. Maybe there's somebody who just wants to get on course and stay there. I want to stay on course. We thank you for repentance, Lord. Your way is higher than our way. And we do get off course, all of us do. But you never close the course. You always let us back on. You always let us back on. So we thank you, Father. Help us get on course. Help us change the course if we're on the wrong course. Help us stay on the right course. All in the name of Jesus. Amen.